should be on and going. The board seems to be cooperating. I've made some adjustments to it. I think it's doing better. All right, we are, you should have your Bibles open to Proverbs here in chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at finishing out our understanding and appreciation of what is going to be our instruction in godly justice and what that's going to mean to us. And then we'll move into judgment a little bit, I think. But for now, these again are to be recognized right up front. And again, you know, my understanding is your Father expects you, and because of the way sonship is developed throughout the Bible, and Solomon especially is the son who becomes the one who writes the information down and kind of the spotlight example of that son, he expects us really to understand this. Before we got to Romans 8:14 and 15, where we are declared as sons and receive that initial declaration as a son and what all that means, that's not to surprise us. And so it should cause us to perceive that, you know, Romans and then the Colossian epistles, Galatians, and the rest of Paul's epistles are really all laid out in a way that are going to instruct me in these things, and they do. That's that little statement right there sets you apart from the vast majority of the Christian world. They don't perceive the Bible as being that at all. And so these four issues are four issues that are, they're going to be ever a part of your life. They are to be a part of it as you get that information in Romans, and then it's going to be enhanced. He's going to loop back around. There's a point at which a father says, all right, I've taken you through all this. Now what we're going to do is we're going to loop back around. I'm going to start adding and enhancing your understanding of these things. It's just like training a son in any kind of business. You give him some general idea of how to operate something, and then when it comes to the tough areas, he calls the father in, and he makes the critical adjustments. And when I was printing, we had that. We had critical adjustments, and we had adjustments that were non-critical adjustments that needed to be made. And as I gained skill, I could make those critical adjustments without injury. And sometimes that's an issue. Sometimes if you don't know what you're doing, you could get injured. And there's things in the sonship life like that, that if you don't know what you're doing, you could really get hurt this way. There's other things that you could actually hurt the business by doing certain things. So there's a reason why looping parallelism and teaching by coming back around and enhancing those things, there's a natural reason why you're going to see things about conduct and behavior right off the get-go in Romans 12. Then you're going to see more enhancement of that in books like Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And all of these get enhanced and built upon, but never gotten away from. And then the blending of them to produce discernment and to produce the other decision-making skills that you're going to have, prudence being one of them. Those are all things that begin right here. It all begins here. And wisdom is basically going to deal with issues of what path I take, wise versus foolish, seeing the course of this world and being a child of Adam versus the course of my Father and what He's charted out for me as a son of my Father God. And justice is going to deal with decisions that I'm going to have to make where it's really clear cut. I can turn to the chapter, turn to the verse, say, that's what my Father says. But what I'm after and what we ended our last lesson on was kind of moving us into areas where we're dealing with our conscience, building a set of norms and standards now that are a match to our Father's, that primarily are going to have a lot to do in the way I deal with others in the institutions God has set forth and has originated. And so we have things like our nation, we have things like government, family, marriage, even the local assembly. And so to receive the instruction of justice is to receive instruction as a son and making sonship decisions regarding the right, the wrong, the necessary and or needful thing that may call for. And again, in each case, it may be necessary or needful, but there's a right and a wrong way to do this. Or it may be what is responsible. You've heard the expression, I want to be a responsible citizen. or amenable, the amenable thing to do, which is again, I may not like it, but the amenable thing as a son is to be willing to bend to that. It doesn't violate Scripture. It doesn't violate anything that would that would be a part of having to break the law or any of those things. I may not like the government. I may not like the president. I may not like the governor. I may not like the mayor. I may not like those things. I may not like the way it's structured. I may not like to pay taxes. Taxes is a great place where you're amenable. You're willing to pay them because the result would be I lose my land, I lose my house, I lose my car. You know, to me, it's this. By the way, this has been an area that's had to make a lot of adjustments in my life, because I want to. There's areas of my own personality that wants to rise up, you know, and you want to demonstrate, and you want to say something, and you want to change the man, and you want to change the system, and you want to, you know, you want to. There's areas that you just, at least I do, and I find in my own life, you know, I just, when you read about the way this nation was founded and the value that they placed upon ownership of land. You were nothing unless you owned a piece of land. And that land was sanctosanct. It was sacred. And that I love that little story that was oftentimes used, whether it was real, I don't think it was real, but it was an illustration where the British soldier came up to the colonialist's home, and it was just a shack. And he was making fun of it and saying, well, the rain, he said, your roof leaks and rain and snow comes on and all this kind of thing. And that colonialist went up to that British soldier and he says, yeah. He says, you know what? He said, the rain may enter and the snow may enter and the wind may enter, but the King of England may not enter. What a great, I mean, that just, I love that story. And it's like, yeah, how dare you tell me at the threat of prison, really at the point of a gun, you'll take my land from me when I paid for it with my work and my sweat. That, by the way, I think is the right to vote. They used to call them freeholders, you know. And so, and I could go on and on because I love that stuff. But that's not the instruction of my father. In a lot of ways, I've had to become amenable because there's something now overriding that. So when you're, by the way, when we were talking about, when we were talking about the issue of equity in just defining it, what was it that we said we had to add to that definition that came into it when you want the best interest of others? Grace. What do you think we have to add to this definition along those same lines? No, but it's very close to it, especially if you think of Paul's epistles. What? Not yet. Mercy? That could be applicable, but there's one other. How did Paul start all his letters? Grace to you and peace. When you're dealing, by the way, all those that you just mentioned are going to come in judgment and equity. But in justice, when dealing with these kind of decision-making skills, they often are going to deal with a course that you're going to take as a son, that you're going to pursue as being one that, as a result of it, or at the end of it all, it's really going to provide for peace in a situation where it can be done. And by the way, this ought to start, I don't know, I've told you that you ought to have a couple lines of reading going on, one of which is Paul's epistles. But this ought to start ringing some bells. And as much as in you is, live with all men peaceably. Yeah. And that's within that, when you find that kind of thing, that's within a body of information that's instructing you about just decision making. That's not saying roll over. There's also a time where you may have to actually stand for something in the light of severe persecution for it and not bend to it. But these skills give you the ability to know exactly when that should be done and when it should not be done. When it is profitable and when it is useless and pointless, when you should be amenable, when you should be, as a result of it, providing for peace within a situation and not fuel the fire of something or produce bitterness or animosity unneeded or anything along those lines. The useless, unneeded animosity toward Christians is largely because of idiot Christians, especially in this country. We have no excuse for being the butt of disdain in this nation. We're not a communist nation. And again, it's because most Christians get the idea that what they've got to do is they've got to be protesting. You know, Protestants, and they, for some reason, think that the protesting is something that our government is doing. But in general, in just the general nature of the word justice, you've got built into that the norms and standards that go beyond just an individual as a person. There's also issues that get dealt with as a society and how it operates, or a nation and what that nation operates on. And that's why I say in this skill, you're going to learn something about a particular power that even in a bad country that has that particular power, if that's there, you're not going to be campaigning to overthrow that government. And you may not like this, but you may view the revolution of our country a little bit differently. But the fact is, you've got those kinds of things in view in justice. The various institutions within a particular society that it operates on, the peaceable living within all these various governmental structures and organizations, and receiving the instruction of justice involves the making of sound sonship decisions about what are the conscientious and upright things. Every one of you young men and women are going to have to face at the time you turn 18 registering for a draft. You know, I can remember registering for a draft myself. I can remember when I was a little younger than that, thinking I would be drafted because the draft was in effect. Some of you people have no idea what it's like to have the draft in effect across the board, because it wasn't around when you were that young. But, you know, which wasn't a problem. My thinking at the time was, I don't mind going at all, but you're going to have to draft me to get me. I want to go to school and I want to do these other things, you know. And there was no war on in 1979, except we had a few Americans that were being held hostage at the time. I was trying to think of my first vote. I can't remember if it was for Ford or for Reagan. I think it was 70. I was 18 in 79, so I think that would have had to been Reagan was the first president I voted for. But Kennedy was in office when I was born, though. So anyway, but the receiving of these things, these are things about which are the conscientious things to do, the upright things to be done in a connection with institutions, customs of nations, societies, organizations within a society, meaning that the receiving of the instruction of justice involves receiving instruction by which you're going to make wise decisions in regard to the government in which you live and operate, the rules and regulations that that government puts into effect in which you have to follow and conform to in connection with, for instance, business. You as a believer in Christ, as a Christian, as a son of your Heavenly Father, have got certain things in business that the government is way into your pockets in business, in which you have to operate on those things, and you may view those as wrong, as immoral or whatever, but there's information that you're going to be taught that allows you to realize, is that really an important issue as a son or not? Is that something that amenable issue might be the best course of action, and you'll clearly be able to distinguish that. Or other institutions, for instance, you have to operate in. Like I've mentioned many times, marriage, family, even the customs of a society, and things along those lines. And I've talked to a lot of missionaries who worked in a lot of different tribal customs and those kinds of things. And some of those things, you don't go in there and try and Americanize them. You know, you there are some things, you know, if it's sinful, and again, that's where godly justice comes into play. If it's right, if it's wrong, if it's lawful or unlawful, those things need to change. But other things that they do, for instance, there was one guy who was standing around, he was like right off the plane, and he's in this tribe of people, and he's standing there, and they most of them have pretty long hair, and this guy, this tribal member, sneezed. And he sneezed into his hand. You know, and he's like, yeah. And he's standing there talking, and there's like four or five of them together, and he just reaches over to the guy next to him and wipes it in his hair. And this missionary was like horrified and ready to throw up. He was like, oh. And when he finally was asking, why do you do that? I said, well, that acts as a guard against some of the things they face in the sun and out in the heat and all this kind of thing. Plus, he nailed this supposed heathen tribal member, just nailed this guy because he saw him sneeze into a handkerchief. And then fold it up and put it in his... He said, why do you keep it? He said, what are you keeping it for? He said, I didn't have as good an answer as he had. You know, why do I sneeze it into and then put it in my pocket? Well, anyway, it's being able to differentiate between and be amenable and responsible to even customs of a society and things along those lines, as well as certain establishments within a nation, such as the military establishment, the criminal justice or law enforcement establishment. You've got the police, the SBI, the FBI, the ATF. Many of these organizations that are a part of our country and a part of our society. And I was watching a propaganda film the other night. I thought it was going to be a pretty good film, but it wound up pure propaganda. And poor Cecil. I mean, they made the FBI look like they were absolute idiotic thugs. And it was just so blatantly that way. You know, kicking down doors and ripping children out and throwing people around and not announcing themselves, no warrant, none of this, and that's them, that's the horrible, awful, god-awful FBI, blah, 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 blah. And again, many Christians, that's the way they view a governmental structure like that. They can't get along with it without trying to either change it or protest against it. And you've got a lot of that is going on today. The word justice, though, comes into play in all of those areas. And you can appreciate that in the sense of any old father instructing any old son, but much more than that, it has a major bearing on our godly sonship edification from our Father, from God our Father, as it pertains particularly to us in this dispensation of grace in which we live. And I want to touch on that before we leave it. And I'm going to have to get a drink before I go any farther. And that's the reason is because we're going to have to be instructed about making just decisions as members of the church, the body of Christ, that isn't known about naturally by men, or even by Christians usually, who haven't received the instruction in their sonship education they're supposed to have received. Because God our Father has instituted certain just issues for nations that most Christians today don't even know what they are. If you were to say, what is the power, and then the powers plural, that Paul talks about in the book of Romans, what is that talking about? Well, that's just talking about mayors, governors, presidents. Yeah, but what's the power singular that he's talking about? By the way, I'm not going to tell you right now what it is. We'll get to it when we get there. But those are issues that God has given us information about that unless you were instructed in this, you would not know. And certain things he's ordained for civil society within the nation to operate. He's instituted marriage. That's something he instituted. He instituted the family structure. And he has things to say about marriage and family where just decisions are concerned. He has some things to say about how a husband and a wife operate, and children and their parents operate. And in this dispensation of grace, he's instituted this thing called the local church, the local assembly. And there's organization to it. I don't care how small it is. There's organization. He's established an office of a bishop, the pastor teacher. He's established office of deacons, And there's a particular organized structure to that that has right and wrong to it, that has rules and regulations about this is the proper way in which this should be done. And that's violated on almost every hand I can think of, in almost every church I can think of. And therefore, there's things he said in connection with all these institutions that have a right to them and have a wrong to them. And that he has the authority to declare what's right and what's wrong in each case. And he set it down in his word. And receiving the instruction of justice for us as members of the new creature has to take all those things into account as well, because we have to start thinking about all these issues of justice as God's sons now. Not as a patriotic American. Not as a John Bircher. Not as a Mason. Not as whatever. But I have to start thinking of these things in light of who I am as a son of my Heavenly Father. That takes me out of just mere being a patriotic American. It takes me to have a view to the established norm and standard in my conscience of the right and wrong of these things, how to respond to them, how to be responsible to them, how to be amenable to them, so that I'm doing it as to my Father's pleasure, and at no violation of my own sonship education or edification. And in fact, there are many things in my edification as a son of my Father where I would not go that route. I would realize that is irresponsible, but it's passed off today as responsible Christian behavior. So it's a big issue. I don't want to make light of it, because we're going to see judgment and equity as really huge issues. But I just don't want to pass this up and pass it over too lightly. It is a big issue. But it's just, again, within the framework of having something on the book, so to speak, you can point to and say, this is the right of it, this is the wrong of it. So it receives us for making it makes it so that when we receive this sound instruction of justice, we receive instruction for making decisions regarding right or wrong, necessary and or needful, responsible and or amenable in our activities and dealings with others and with them. And it also involves, and this isn't up on the board, I don't think this is the one, I'm pretty sure it's judgment, yeah. It also involves receiving instruction for making sound sonship and godly decisions about what are the conscientious and the upright things for us to do. By the way, I don't know if many people don't know this, but there is one person in the history of our country who has received the Congressional Medal of Honor who is a conscientious objector. One guy. His name was Desmond Doss. He was a believer in Christ, although he was, I think he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and earned it. As his story is just as hair-raising as any of them were. He earned it. But he was a conscientious objector. And he would tell you he was. I mean, he wore that title proudly, that he was a conscientious objector. But anyway, that's neither here. That's not edifying. It's just me. But these issues of justice take in that issue of what is conscientious and upright to do in connection with what God's ordained for the nation in which we live, as a nation, for our civil society, for our marriage, for our families, for the local church, for the local customs we will encounter, for business and business deal, all the things that we will encounter and deal with. This, by the way, justice, the instruction of justice, deals with you as an employee or as an employer. It deals with the employer-employee relationship. There are things as a believer, not only as a believer in Christ, but as an educated son. A properly educated son should be the best employee an employer ever has. And a properly educated son should be the best employer an employee ever has. But there are things that you view differently than just the way the world looks at it. And so those things are encountered in this godly instruction in justice and making just decisions. You know, union, not non-union. You know, there's some ways you can't get around a union. I was involved. I was in a union once. I was in the musicians' union. I had to be. You had to have a union card or you wouldn't get paid. I never once went to one union meeting, but I was in the musicians' union in Indiana. I think I still have my union card somewhere. I actually played my first job on the other Barry Sax player's union card, and the leader fired him immediately and hired me. He liked me better. And then I got a union card, or I joined the union. So, you know, and there's some Christians, again, these are things that I've had to make adjustments in, that have real, you know, problems with unions. Well, there's a way to deal with that according to godliness and sonship education, because you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to live with them. You might have to be a part of them. You know, and you're going to come along and turn down a good job and say, well, I'm doing that because of my godly principles tells me I can't join a union. Where in the Bible does that tell you that? Where's the section on unionism in the Bible? Again, it's things that Christians will get this concrete idea, but not from their father. They got it from a pastor or from a book written by a great man of God, but it didn't come from their father. So, the very idea of work. Should I work or not work? Well, I'm just so dedicated to Jesus, and I'm praying so much, and fasting so much, and tarrying so much, that I just don't, I think work is wrong. After all, look what they did in Acts 4. They just divided up all their money and land, and waited for Jesus. I think that's what we ought to do. Now, what you really want to do, you're a lush, and you won't work. And so, Paul has something to say about that. Does anybody know? What happens if you don't work? You don't eat. And that came right out of Paul's epistles in an advanced section teaching on advanced principles of justice. Yeah. That's why those things are in Paul's epistles. You know, work or not, how should you treat work? How should you view it? And things like that. You know, those are the kinds of things, by the way, those are sonship decisions. Should a woman work? Should she not work? These are sonship decisions that God has something to say about. And they're the kind of things you're going to encounter when you receive the instruction of justice in the body of information that's formed in God's Word for you for justice's sake. It provides for those kinds of norms and standards for our inner man to operate upon as we interact and have relationships with others. And that includes when we witness to them as unsaved people, when we deal with them even as members of the church, the body of Christ, if we deal with them on a employer-employee basis, on a financial basis, getting a loan, whatever it may be, we would find ourselves in. There's a just way to deal with some of these things, and as we interact with others, or where the laws of the land could have something to say about it as well. And our decisions about the government under which we exist, how it may encroach upon us, how it may keep taxing us, how it may be doing regulating us to death, it says, whether the draft comes back. You know, should I as a Christian run to Canada or Mexico? You know, Mexico's going to be empty before long. We might want to think about going down there. Or how should you view that? And God has things to say and teach that are responsible things for you to do, because you are a citizen and you do have to have certain responsibilities that call for you to do things that you may not like. But you got to stop thinking along the lines of, I don't like it, and because I don't like it, it must be wrong. No, there's a lot of things you may not like that are to be tolerated by you as a son, so that the peaceable course of life exists. And so, I'm just trying to throw out a lot of things that may be touched upon by this issue of justice. And we're going to make sound judgments, just decisions when it along the lines of how we respond to that. how we're going to respond to all of the divine institutions we become a part of, marriage, family, especially here, the local assembly. And when you think about when you really stop to think about what I've been talking about in the last hour and a half or so, that's an awful lot of stuff. I mean, really, that's a whole bunch of things, you know, that kind of touches upon. And it is an awful lot of things. And it's going to take some real keen insight and skill in order to make the proper decisions you're supposed to make as a son of God, your Father. And this instruction is really important to us, particularly now that we are adopted adult sons of God. And we should recognize that we really do need this instruction of justice. We can't just rely on the fact that, oh, pish posh, I'm an American. I've got that already. You know, that's my birthright to have just understanding of things. I'm here to tell you, you're going to be jerked around a little bit here when you start realizing what your Father's teaching you about. That you may find, I'm not quite as hepped up on this as I used to be. Now, there's that biblical term, hepped up. No, it's not. It's my term. But it's not to be a forced thing. Again, it takes the effectual working of that body of doctrine that produces that view, that outlook, and the way you value these things and respond to them as a son. And it may not be what you like, but it's what is godly. And that likes and dislikes actually should begin matching to where you do realize this is the wise thing and the just thing for me to do as a son. And that pleases me. And this other, what I held on to so strongly, has no more luster, it has no more glamour to it, I really see that for what it is now. And any old man can well up with pride when the flag is unfurled. Any old American can do that. And I still do that, and I'm not going to stop doing that. But I do realize that I have a flag that I, or the colors and standards that I have now, is something far better than that. And I even wrote a big long poem about it, about how my country does nothing but disappoint me. But my Lord has never disappointed me. And so while that flag may fade in its glory, there's something far brighter taking its place. Now this is an issue where we need to be asking ourselves, now that I'm a son of God, what is my responsibility in regards to government and divine institutions? And you're going to find that's a hot-button topic. Among most Christians, whether they understand sonship or not, just decision-making skill is a hot-button, especially right now at this time in our country, at election time. What do the people say? Don't ever discuss politics or religion. There are people that actually believe that if you are a Christian, it is your absolute godly duty to be a Republican. That God hates Democrats and he loves Republicans. Do you know there's people in the Republican Party that are the biggest boobs you've ever run across? Most of which are actually governing. And to me, it's not the Republicans and the Democrats and the Republicans, it's the insane and the spineless. That's the two parties. You have the nuts, and then you have the absolute yellow, spineless cowards, which is mostly the Republican Party. And so I'm doing this to try to antagonize you, to try to push a button, because you want to flare up. Maybe if I said something about Rush Limbaugh, it went, oh, no. You know, you start vibrating in your chair or something. Rush is not an educated son. And by the way, I was thinking about doing this the other day. I thought about what I want to do is put on the board and just kind of have coming up one after another all these pictures of leaders. You know, Ted Kennedy and presidents and that governor we've got. What's his name? Easley. And all of these different people in right now who are governing. And then I wanted to bring Andy and Nick up here. And I wanted you to see these two boys, and I wanted you to realize that in the face of those men who govern today, they don't even know how to govern. They've never received the instruction of my Father in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. They will never, ever govern again. And these two boys are going to govern in a way and with authority and with power. These other governors and presidents and senators and congressmen not only have never known, but are disqualified. They've spent their life going down an avenue where they spent their time in politics and government, never receiving the instruction of their Father in those things. Man, that ought to put things in perspective. But I didn't do that because I thought, I can't objectively say that none of those have ever, maybe some of them down the road have received the instruction of justice from their Father, their Heavenly Father. So I didn't do that because I just felt bad about it. But I thought it'd be a great illustration. And it would have been. Because it's true. And I would lump into that Churchill, the Caesars, Napoleon, and you just think about all of these people who've led, who've been in power of ruling, and the kings of England, some of these kings, and these guys who nobody knows the name of, are being instructed to one day rule in power and authority and positions that has never entered the mind of these other people. They'll never govern when this life is over. So it is a hot button topic. But there's always this debate concerning Christians being involved in politics. Should I be involved in politics, government? The Bible tells you what the wise thing to do for a son would be. Should I be involved in government? Should I be involved in law enforcement? Should I go into the military or not? Should I vote? Should a Christian vote? I can't think of should there be a death penalty? Every time we go to execute somebody, they always protest. And what is the signs that out there at the prison are always people of faith against the death penalty? This drives me crazy, because where's the sign that says the people of faith, that's a hot button issue. I'd want to be out there with my sign. A people of faith. I'm a people of faith for the death penalty. No, but that's why I say it's hot button issues like that. The Bible addresses those, and it addresses them so that you live as a son accordingly. Should a Christian picket at an abortion clinic? All of these kinds of things. And if you look at it, you'll see there's really a huge amount of ungodly decisions being made along the lines of what we know now as godly sonship, just decision making. There's a huge amount of ungodly decisions when it comes to just sonship decision making, because the vast majority of Christians have never received the instruction of justice from their Heavenly Father. But when we receive the instruction of justice, we're going to learn from our Father the right and the wrong, or the necessary and or needful, or the responsible and or amenable thing for us to do in regard to our relationship with each other and the society, community, and government and nation in which we live. Well, receiving the instruction of justice will provide for us to make sound sonship, godly decisions in relationship to all these areas, all these hot button issues. Do you have any problem or any comment or question? Because we're really out of time. I think it'll be a good place to stop before we get into judgment. And we can start that on Tuesday. Anything along the lines of justice that you'd be unclear on? I know we didn't go anywhere else, but on your own, you can go over to Paul's epistles and just look, for instance, there in chapter 12 from verse 17 on, you'll find some basic fundamental, and that's how it starts out, information regarding the things I've just been talking about. The just decision-making skill of a son. And again, that gets added on to as we go on. Now in judgment, both in judgment and equity, there's some passages I want to definitely go run down. We're going to look at some other places. But any questions or comments along the lines of justice before we move on? And we're not going to move on today because we're really at day's end. So you should be able to tell me, or you should be able to answer someone who says, what does it mean for a son to be instructed in wisdom, to receive the instruction of wisdom? You should basically be able to answer that. You're looking at me like, don't ask me. You know, it's that basic understanding of what path, what course would be wise or foolish. The way of the world is a child of Adam. The way of my Father is a son of God. As your basic understanding of what you're going to get in why. Just, it's on the board. It's receiving that instruction in what is right, wrong, needful, necessary, responsible, amenable. It's going to deal specifically, not, and you need to think about between now and Tuesday, think about, make sure you clearly see the difference between wisdom and justice. And there is a clear difference, because justice is going to deal with divine institutions. It's going to deal with these institutional areas I have to operate and function in as a son. My government, my society, my community, my neighborhood, my family, my marriage. And there's clear instruction that my Father says about those things that are going to be the course and path that a son is going to take, that's going to bring about a peaceable living and add peace to that issue. So I'm just throwing some things out so that if someone is to ask you what those two things are, you should be able to tell them. You ought to be able to answer them. And if you think about Romans, Paul's going to follow those right down the line. Well, next time on Tuesday night, we'll start with judgment. And that's going to be a fun one. That one is going to be a ball, because that gets into some real interesting areas where now we're going to start having cards put before us where there isn't definite right and wrong. There's various shades of what's right. And you're going to see some amazing things about how your Bible's put together. When you start, and I'm talking about your King James, because the other Bibles, they change all the words around. But you're going to see these words are going to advance, and they have this marvelous design and progress to them. And justice is where sonship is really going to start, judgment is where sonship really starts shining, where you have to determine between right and right. You know, what's going to be the greatest pleasure to my Father, and that's a skill we all look forward to having. Well, we'll stop right there and pick it up on Tuesday night with judgment.